Why don't you turn your Bible to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's on page 130 if you're using a pew Bible that we provided for you. Thank you for that beautiful music, message choir. A couple of things I wanted to just mention in passing. One, I was reminded yesterday or over the last few days of what a gift it is if you've This is going to sound a little bit morose, perhaps. If you've thought about what you want your funeral service to be like, I was just reminded it is an incredible gift to your family if you write some things down. So, prayerfully consider that, of what you want your service to be like. Amy Hirsch would be happy to help you with any of that and planning. Amy does a wonderful job helping our church kind of manage with our funeral ministry team. Those things happen way too often around here. Quite frankly, we have them a lot. And it's a reminder that the more you plan and the more that you tell your family what's important to you, the easier their lives will be when they're getting themselves ready to honor your life and hold out the hope of the gospel. So that's just free. Also, you know, Baptists have been in the news this week. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. If you do, I think it's helpful to acknowledge that we are a church who believes that God's called men and women to all levels of ministry. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. You're going to see male and female deacons coming throughout the congregation, distributing the elements. And there are other people who believe differently. And one of the things I think is important for us, let's, for the sake of argument, assume that we're correct. Is that because we are better or more righteous than others? It is not. Anything that we get right is an expression of God's kindness and mercy and grace in our lives, and we ought to steward it that way. And we want to be faithful and partner with whoever wants to be faithful and partner with us in God's kingdom work. And so I want to hold all those things loosely as we move forward into what God would have for us to know as a people. But it's who we are at Mount Moriah Baptist. We think scriptures lead us to believe that God's called men and women to ministry at all levels. And we're grateful to be a part of that tradition and give grace and mercy for those who think differently than us. And at the end of the day, I can guarantee you that I'm wrong about something. Amen. I know it's hard to believe. So I want to be gracious and kind to those who think differently. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 through 19. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and the decrees that he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and that you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm a forgetful person. I'm a forgetful person. It would not be odd for you to walk into my office and see a sticky note on the door frame, on the doorway leading out of my office. And it's likely there to help me not forget something that I said I would do, likely for my wife. She's like, hey, Bring a bag of scones home. I am aware of my weakness enough that I don't think that I'm actually going to remember to take them home. I'm amazed at how quickly I can forget things. And so I take a sticky note and I might write scones and just put it there on the door frame in hopes that I'm gonna walk by it and say, oh yeah, I'm supposed to get some of those wonderful Cooks on a Mission chocolate chip scones. That's free for Cooks on a Mission, little plug, right? Don't forget those things. It happens to me often that I send a text message and I say, please forgive me. I forgot to write you back. Right? Please forgive me. I was supposed to respond to this text message or send this email. That there is a part of me that if I'm not careful, I just forget things. Are any of you the same way as me? Right? There's a part of us that if we're not careful, you and I are going to forget things. And one of the ways that we kind of work against that is that we write it down or we set a reminder in our phones. Thanks be to God for these things. Like, how do I get somewhere? Not sure. I just put it in here, even though I've been there. I don't forget anymore because it helps me. And one of the most important things that we can do as God's people is remember. Remember. To resolve that we are not going to forget certain things that are foundational for who we are as a people. And if we forget them, what's going to happen is that you and I are going to struggle to live into the life of obedience that God's called us to. And so as Moses is getting the people ready to go into the promised land, he tells them to be careful not to forget. Remember, they're transitioning from the desert. They're transitioning from the wilderness. They're transitioning from seeing God's presence in the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. They're transitioning from manna being provided for them every day. They're transitioning from this heart of dependence upon God to provide everything that they need for life and for faith. And they're about to go into this land of plenty. And Moses, in just a beautiful way, he says, don't forget when you inhabit cities that you did not what? Build. And when you live in houses full of good things that you did not what? Acquire in your own strength. And when you go out and you eat the fruit of the vines that you did not plant, don't forget that all of these things are an expression of God's grace and his mercy and his kindness in your life. And they're meant to lead you to gratitude and obedience that flows from a heart that's yielded to a God who would love us and provide for us in such ways that we don't deserve. And there are moments, if you're like me, that you forget your need for God's grace in your life. You forget all the ways that if God did not do for you what you could not do for yourself, you would be lost and destitute without any real direction or hope in life. What happens to us is that over time, we forget. Like, I'll drive home and go to my house and be like, man, isn't this a beautiful house that I've acquired for myself? And lay down in my bed and be like, man, we've done pretty well for ourselves. Look at this. Isn't this great? Or get up and have the health and like know who I am. And want to come to church and have a Bible that I can read and I can read it. And the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. Like I could go on and on at the ways in which God has graciously provided for me that which I do not deserve. But the farther I get away from God's initial work of grace and mercy and kindness in my life, the more prone I am to start thinking, wait a minute, didn't I do this on my own? Aren't I pretty smart? Aren't I pretty hardworking? Isn't it the case that these things that I experience and enjoy, actually, rather than them being an expression of God's gifts and grace and kindness to me that somewhere along the way I have earned this. That rather than God giving me this as a gift, it's actually he's paying me a wage that I deserve. And when you and I start to believe that we deserve any of God's grace and mercy and kindness and the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, then you and I can't develop this heart of gratitude to him that he deserves that then flows over in this life of obedience. Okay, I'm trying to mention this book for the rest of, until Jesus comes back. It's a different book. It's called Middlemarch. I'm on this kick where I'm trying to read all these classic things. Some of them I'm not smart enough to read, but I'm trying. And every now and then I'll listen to this book, right? And there'll be something that sticks out, and I kind of write that down. It says, when gratitude has become a matter of reasoning, this might be worth writing down. When gratitude has become a matter of reasoning, there are many ways from escaping its bonds. When gratitude has become a matter of reasoning, there are many ways to escape its bonds. I think what she's saying in the book is that there is this propensity in our hearts, then rather than being in awe of God's gratitude, his grace and his mercy and his kindness in our lives, we start to go down this path of reasoning that we've done something to deserve all these things. When gratitude becomes a matter of reasoning, actually, I did figure this out. Actually, I didn't do that thing. Actually, blah, 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 blah. And there becomes a propensity in our hearts where we're like, does the Lord really have this claim of lordship in my life or not? And as I diminish his grace and as I diminish his kindness in my lives, then I can kind of slowly start loosening the bonds of obedience. That gratitude is meant to lead you to love, and the way that you show forth your love for the Lord is a life of obedience yielded to him. That you and I can think that Christianity is basically like, I do all these things, and the Lord really needs me to do all of these things like give or read my Bible. I make sacrifices that somehow appeases the Lord for the things that I've done wrong. And what God wants more than anything is for you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To stand in awe of his grace and his kindness in your life, to root out any sense that I've done something to earn something from the Lord, that then you yield your life in the only way that makes sense to you. Like, in light of all that God's done for me, the only thing I can do is love him and fear him, and to not respond in that way would be unthinkable for me. I think that's what you're going for as parents, by the way, but it's hard. Like, to show your kids your love for them, and the thing that makes you the maddest as a parent, listen up, kids. The thing that makes you the maddest is that you're like, I've done all this stuff for you, and you can't see the value of it and respond in gratitude and obedience, right? It's the same thing, I think, that God feels for us. That all the ways that God has graciously provided for us, all the ways that you and I don't earn one thing or deserve one thing from him, but he's kind and gracious and full of steadfast love, and he pours his blessings upon us. And what's meant to happen in our lives is that we stand back and we just recognize his grace and his kindness, that we have no claim upon him, but he in his free grace and mercy moves forward towards us and blesses us with blessings unimaginable. That our hearts might recognize those things and move forward in obedience. And when you get to the prophets, one of the main things, I just want you to do this later today. The Lord has given us all this technology. I don't care if you use Google search like old men like me, or if you go ChatGPT, whatever you want to do. But look up forget or remember in the Bible. And when you get to the prophets, the thing that kind of incites them the most about the disobedience of the people is that they've forgotten who they are and what God has done for them. That when they were slaves in Egypt, when they had no hope apart from his grace and his mercy, God came to them. One of the prophets says when they were as few as 70 in people in persons or in their nation, God came and he delivered them and he multiplied them to be as many as the stars of the sky. Read Ezekiel 16. You're like, Ezekiel 16? Yes. I felt the same way. I'm reading Ezekiel and I get to Ezekiel 16. And the Lord says, here's how I want you to understand your testimony. I was walking along and you were like a baby on the side of the road. What hope does that baby on the side of the road have? Zero. And I saw you. And I loved you. And I picked you up. And I wiped the blood off of you and cleaned you up. And I watched you grow and I provided for you. I adorned you as a beautiful bride. I married you in this covenant relationship. Right? And what did you do? You forgot me. That you were unfaithful. And the ESV was saying that you were filled with whorings. Sorry. And it paints sin not in that there's a lawgiver and you've broken the rules and so the judge hands this indictment. No. It paints sin ultimately in relational terms that you and I can understand and wrap our minds around and our hearts can be broken over. And ultimately, when you get to the end of Ezekiel 16, the Lord will say, though you forgot me, I did not forget you. I remembered my covenant with you, and I continue to move towards you in grace and mercy and restoration and kindness. In this passage here in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says, I am a what kind of God? Jealous God. I hope that's a word that at least makes you wake up if you were sleeping. You're like, jealous? Yes. In the best terms possible, God is jealous for us as his people. That he is not content to give us up to false gods, would-be saviors, anything apart from him, because he knows that ultimately our hearts will not be satisfied apart from a right relationship and faithful living in obedience to him. And so he is jealous for us. I was in my kitchen last night. Felt kind of crazy. Listen to this song called Love of a Jealous God. And I said, Lord, please be jealous for me. Please be jealous for me. Don't give me up to the wanderings of my heart. Don't allow me to go after anything other than you and faithful obedience to you, please continue to pursue me. In the moments when I don't deserve it, in the ways where I shun your grace and kindness in my life, all I can tell you is that I've got story after story, the ways that God has been jealous for me and he has pursued me, and I am so glad. I'm so glad. As I think about those things, his grace washes over me, and there is no way to live your life that's more joyful than one that's moved by grace and awe and love for the Lord in your life. I want you to try it. I just want you to get up in the morning, and I just want you to mark all the ways that you experience God's grace in your life. And at every point along the way, just ask the Lord, why would you be so gracious to me? Why would you give me so much? And what starts happening is that entitlement kind of moves out of your heart and you stop comparing yourself with what that person has or what they don't have or what they've done. When you recognize that everything is an expression of his grace and his kindness in your life, it melts your heart to love him more. He's just like, Lord, thank you. Why in the world would you do any of this for me? Because he loves us with a steadfast love, and he has chosen to set his love upon us. And you and I now on this side of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus see the fulfillment of it. We are robed even with the very righteousness of Jesus. He calls us his children. You and I are not slaves, but we're children. That God has done all this for us, and we deserve none of it. And so may the Lord continue to melt our hearts to love and worship him and yield ourselves in faithful obedience to him, that others might come to experience the same life that we have in him. Praise God that he is a jealous God. Praise God that he moves towards us in grace and mercy, and he's so patient. And so I pray that the Lord would continue to help us to not believe our own press or our own hype or what others tell us about how good we are, what we've done. At every point along the way, our hearts would just be yielded in grace, mercy, and kindness, and love. I invite you to pray with me. God, thank you for your grace for us. Nothing we enjoy is a thing that we've earned because of our righteousness or our goodness. Help us to not remember, not forget that. Help us to remember it every day that there are so many things that we enjoy that are not expressions of what we've earned. Help us to be so yielded to you in love that you would use us to be a light and that we would invite everybody to experience this same thing in Jesus. We offer this prayer in your holy name. Amen. If you're here and you've never confessed your faith in Christ publicly, or you feel God calling you tonight and join Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you as we stand and sing together.